Hey, guys, gals, listeners, thanks for coming to Chasing Your Best. This podcast is and always will be dedicated to the golf learning curve and providing you with more tools, more resources, and a better decision-making process to help you reach your goals, whatever they are. And I certainly am not here or never will be here to tell you what your goals should be, but hopefully just to give you a lending hand and help point you in the right direction. Let me give you a little business update. Why? I don't know, because I'm excited about it. More and more golfers are starting to play golf in the state of Washington. More people are getting outside. We're getting less restrictions. That means I'm doing more teaching golf, more of what I want to be doing, and less of the stuff that's not so fun. So wherever you are, I hope you're happy, healthy, and keeping a positive mindset. And I just hope that all of us can come out of the backside of this with a little clearer mind and enjoyment for the stuff that we get to do when we're doing it. We're playing golf. Things are good. Let's hop into today's discussion. Spinloft. Spinloft explains a lot of things when you break it down. Spinloft. S-P-I-N-L-O-F-T. It explains a lot of things when you start to learn and educate yourself more about it. And spinloft, in its simplest form, is the difference between the dynamic loft of your club and your angle of attack. And the difference meaning one minus the other. So let's say you have let's say you have 60 degrees aloft. And for our simple math purposes, we're going to say you have a positive angle of attack, meaning that you're hitting up on the ball 4 degrees. Meaning that you're hitting up on the ball 4 degrees. So we take 60 minus 4, and we're left with an effective spin loft of 56. And that's just kind of a number that's going to give us a reference for how much potential for backspin you're going to create. Now, hang with me here. This stuff sounds complicated. I'm going to try to do my best to simplify it, but I want you to understand what spin loft is and how you go about finding it. Now, let's say you take that same 60 degrees of dynamic loft, and now you hit down on the ball 4 degrees. So it's 60 minus negative 4, which becomes a positive. I know I don't want to bring up math. Math's not for everybody. I'm good at it. I like it. But we're stuck with 60 plus 4. Now we're up to 64 degrees of spin loft. So you can think of it in its simplest form. If you want to create the most spin, we want the most loft and the most downward angle of attack, which is measured as negative in golf. If we want the least amount of backspin, just the opposite. We want the least loft with the most positive angle of attack. Now, we do need some spin loft. Backspin is essential to get the ball in the air, and a golf ball would not travel into the air without some backspin on it. Now, there's your basic formula for spin loft. That's how you go about finding it and figuring it out. And even if you can't measure your dynamic loft, even if you can't measure your angle of attack, these things leave behind clues, and these clues can help us solve problems and make better decisions. So let's take the most common driving problem example I see. Most amateur drivers of the golf ball have a spin loft that is way too high, meaning that they hit the ball with a lot of effective loft and a very deep angle of attack. It wouldn't be uncommon for a player to hit the ball with, like, let's say 15 to 18 degrees of loft and then 5 to 10 degrees of negative angle of attack, creating a spin loft that's anywhere from 20 to 25 degrees, which is a lot. And what that's going to do is it's going to produce a ton of backspin on the golf ball, and we're just not going to make the most out of our drives. If we further diagnose that and dive into the details, most of those players would be coming outside in to help them create that downward strike or have an outside in swing path. And they're chopping down on it. You've heard the term chopping wood. Well, that's essentially what they're doing. They're chopping down, and then they're flipping their wrist to square the club, and they're just creating a massive load of spin loft. And that just kills distance. It just crushes distance. And the other thing with that, combined with how those swing principles work, a lot of those players then hit it off the inside of the club, the heel of the club, the part of the club most near the shaft. And that part as well cuts off additional distance. So if you want the recipe for hitting the golf ball as short as possible, meaning that it's not going to go anywhere, you want to do this to your very worst friend or whatever, you want them to hit the inside of the club, you want them to hit down on the golf ball as much as possible, and then have that high dynamic loft, meaning that they're hitting the ball with a lot of loft, meaning that their wrists are probably flipping through impact and adding loft to the club head. Now, with that being said, that's a lot of information. It's kind of technical. It kind of sounds like jargon, but I just want you to distill it down to the simple basics that I talked about in the beginning. To create the most backspin, we want the most loft and the most negative angle of attack. To do the opposite, we want the least loft and the most positive angle of attack. And we just want to use those things to help create the shot styles we want to hit. So let's say we're hitting a 60 degree wedge and you want to hit a ripping, spinning type of shot. Well, what do we want? We want that downward angle of attack. We want that loft so you can potentially open that face. And we can use these variables to help you design your golf shots. Now, maybe you're a player that creates too much backspin. You hit your drives and they're ballooning, they're climbing in the air. You hit your 7-iron 150 yards, but you only hit your driver 215. I can't tell you how many players I've seen through the years that come to me with those exact same statistics. Well, I hit my 7-iron about 150 yards and they're in the ballpark, but my driver doesn't go very far. And I don't even need to look at their swing to tell them that they've got spin loft problems and probably centeredness of hit problems and all the things that lead to the things that depreciate distance on a golf shot. Now, let's say you're a player who struggles with spin loft with the driver, because that's really where this is most common. It's with the driver, it's helping people hit the ball further and so on and so forth. Now, I still want you to understand that understanding this concept is important all the way through the bag. And there's also a right and a wrong way to create backspin. Basically, the difference between right and wrong is we don't want to mess around with an outside in swing path. We don't want to be swinging across the golf ball. In special circumstances, you can swing across the golf ball, hitting flop shots, hitting bunker shots, doing stuff like that. But generally speaking, we do not want the club working across the golf ball, or coming from the outside of the target line would be a better term. We want the sweet spot of the club approaching the golf ball from the inside. Now, assuming you're approaching the golf ball from the inside, you're doing very, very well. And you're not going to create too much backspin the wrong way. You're only going to do it the right way. The wrong way has to do with the club coming from across the ball, or the sweet spot coming from outside the target line. If the sweet spot of the club is coming from the inside of the target line, we're doing pretty darn good. But I wanted to hop back up to the driver and talk about how to solve those problems. With the driver, you're the type of person who balloons it. You don't hit it as far as you want. There's a whole host of things that go into that. Well, one of the fastest ways to start changing your angle of attack is to start changing your swing path. So chances are you swing outside in. Most people do. In fact, I would estimate 85% of golfers do in the amateur golfing world. That means most of the people listening to this podcast struggle with an outside-in swing path and probably struggle with their spin loft with the driver. So we want to hit more from the inside. We want to hit more from the inside of the golf ball, and immediately that's going to help your angle of attack. The way that works is when you do start swinging more from the inside, a lot of times you combine that with that semi-open club face that you were swinging across it with, and you're going to hit the ball way out to right field, or you might hit a big push fade or whatever the case is. So we want to learn to swing more from the inside. If you want just a down and dirty drill, lay something just behind your ball, just on the outside of the target line. This could be a range basket. It could be a club head cover. It could be, I'm looking over at a yoga mat. It could be a yoga mat. Basically, it could be anything that you're not afraid to damage, that you're not afraid to hit if things go bad. And then we're going to start by practicing just learning some small swings. We're just going to learn what that swing path feels like. We're going to start to rearrange our thoughts and how that club should approach the golf ball and just start to develop some new patterns. And then with those new patterns, you can start to add speed to the equation. But a really fast down and dirty drill is just to set something just behind your ball and to the outside of it. Let's say 12 inches back, about a grip's length. and then just outside your target line, maybe a half a golf ball outside your target line. And then that club's going to approach your golf ball from the inside of that. So we're going to learn to swing our driver more from the inside. Chances are you're going to do it with an open face at first. So as you start to do this, we're going to start to learn how to square that club face and bring our spin loft down. Now, if you can imagine this, and I know really the only way I know how to explain this is with numbers, so I don't want to lose you, but I have to explain it this way. Let's say previously 15 degrees aloft, and you were swinging across the golf ball or down 5 degrees. So we were creating a spin loft of 20 degrees. Now let's say we're going to use that same 15 degrees aloft. We're going to swing more from the inside, and now we have a 5 degree angle of attack on the upswing. So now we're 15 minus 5, which is 10. We've taken our spin loft from 20 down to 10, and we are balling. That gives us a lot of potential to create just better strikes. Better strikes, less spin loft, more distance, a more effective path on the club to the golf ball. Now, many, many times in the fitting process, if you walk into a big box fitter, somebody that's just there, they're just there to sell you clubs, and that's their job. It's to help you find the best clubs for your golf swing. In that scenario, a lot of times those people are going to put you into a stiffer shaft than you really should be swinging because your swing path stinks, because your spin loft is high. Now, I've seen this multiple times where a player has went from having a really terrible swing path to a much more positive swing path and a better angle of attack and a more centerness of hit. But then all of a sudden, they don't have hardly any backspin on the golf ball because of what I described earlier. Their spin loft has went from 20 to 10. Now, all of a sudden, they're not putting hardly any backspin on the golf ball because their equipment was malfit. I shouldn't say that. It was fit for a previous version of their golf swing. That's why in a perfect world, you have a fitter that understands where you're going with your golf swing. And that's why I love to fit my current clients. And I don't even take fittings off the street anymore. I don't like doing them. Players come in, they want the best clubs for their swing. But there's always this discussion of, are you happy with your swing? Are you happy with your game? And it always leads to, well, no, not really. And then it's like, well, we should reorganize and we should be doing some swing work first. And then we should circle back to the clubs later. It's just a much better way to do things if you can do it in that order. Now, I'm never against buying new equipment. I like that stuff. It's awesome. It's shiny. It's new. It's fun. It's fun to tinker. I get it. Gear is cool. But if we're talking about how to get the most output on your golf game, how to get the most effective delivery of your clubs to the golf ball, well, then most of us are going to need the swing work first. And then we should circle back to a fitting later as we've refined our swing, as we've moved into a space that I would consider to be functional. All right, well, let me wrap up what we learned today. We learned that spin loft is really damn important. And also your swing path, and I didn't talk on this a ton, but your swing path influences your spin loft a ton. They don't necessarily have to work together hand in hand, but they generally do unless you start changing other variables. So assuming we're not changing other variables, your spin loft and your swing path work together like peanut butter and jelly. To kick back to our example, if we're swinging from the outside of the golf ball with a driver and we're probably hitting down on it to some degree, the fastest way to change that is to swing more from the inside, and that's going to help us swing on a more positive angle of attack, assuming we don't change any other variables. We talked about right and wrong ways to put spin on the golf ball. Well, our basic rule of thumb and something that we can always come back to is our clubs should be approaching the golf ball from the inside. If you're doing that, it becomes very, very hard to create too much spin loft or too much backspin. In fact, I see the best hitters in the world, the Rory McIlroys, the Tiger Woodses, the Dustin Johnsons, they hit down on the golf ball wonderfully from the inside with high angles of attack, creating very forward divots, and just pinching that ball into the turf. It's so fun to watch. That's something to aspire to. The wrong way to do it is to swing from outside the golf ball and to swipe across it. And spin loft is really, really important. I think it can help you solve some problems. I think it can give you a deeper understanding of what your ball does and just help further educate you and push you down the path that is better golf. Now, you don't always need to have the answers to everything, but I do think it's important you understand the concepts. And this is one of those concepts that I want you to understand so you can problem solve, so you can have an educated problem solving process. All right, you guys, I want to thank you for being here. I appreciate you listening no matter where you are, what you got going on. You're here. We're all here because we want to do better. We want to make better decisions and get the most out of our time. Thank you for being exactly who you are. I will catch you back here, same time, same place, next week.